I want you to know that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. I don't know what you're believing for your child, but I'm here to tell you that the prayers have covered your children. I want everybody that believes to just tell them thank you. I've been getting calls after calls after calls in the shared testimonies of the move of God in the children. We started off thanking God for the children, and we're going to continue to thank God because there's power in thanking God. I also want you to know that I woke up early this morning and I've been saying to the Lord, Lord, show me. Just show me. I said, speak to me today as it relates to you, to the children and what you're doing. During the 8 o'clock service, there was a child that was 11 years old. Her mother came up and said, I got to show you this picture because my daughter was frying bacon. And she said, Mom, can I fry some bacon? I said, yes, go ahead, fry the bacon. And she went and grabbed a glass pan, thinking that it was okay to fry bacon in a glass pan. While she was frying the bacon, the pan got so hot that it exploded. And glass went everywhere. Many tiny pieces. You could imagine frying over the pan when the glass blew up. But the glass went everywhere except for on her. Thousands and thousands of fragmented glass went everywhere, but it didn't touch the child. I want you to know that the prayers of the righteous. Avail as much as she got the camera and showed me a picture of all the glass and how it went everywhere. And the child was standing next to her. And I picked her up and I said, oh, you are blessed by God. And she got the biggest smile on her face because she knew that she knew that she knew that she was blessed by God. I said, thank you, Lord. And as I went to greet the guests today, there was an 8-year-old child by the name of Martell. He was 8 years old, first time here. He said, I want to be a pastor. Now, you don't know. There's a whole lot of children that want to be an NBA star. They want to be this. They want to be that. But we've been praying over the children. There's an 8-year-old that said, I want to be used by God. That guy. I'm saying all that to set you up because next month, beginning next Sunday, beginning Wednesday, we'll be teaching on the word rejoice. So that we can understand it a little better. How many of you have began to understand how important thanking God is? That's good, because we're going to put the icing on the cake. We have one more message concerning that. But next month, the Lord has spoke to me. He said, have the body of Christ. He says, while you're rejoicing me, I'm going to show you that I'm the God that healeth. So I don't know what illness there is, spiritually, physically, or mentally. We're going to bring those names onto the altar. We're going to believe for God to do it. And while we're rejoicing God, we're going to see his power of healing manifest. Today, there's a word from the Lord as it relates to thanks. And I want you to stand to your feet and let's read our theme scripture this month. Let's put it in the atmosphere. Let's read it together. Enter with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, thank God. Thank God. There's two passages of text that I'm going to read to you. The first one, it will be giving a backdrop to the New Testament. I'm going to go to the Old Testament first, Zechariah chapter number 3. And then we'll go to Colossians chapter number 3. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. And then we'll turn to Colossians chapter 3. Zechariah 3. Zechariah 3. Those of you who don't have your Bible, we can't get it on the wall. You can't get it on the wall. They're having technical difficulty. So we're going to pray while they get it together back there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that you are giving us, that we may feast on your word, for your word is truth, and it is your word that strengthens us and ignites in us and guides us and directs us and helps us to fall deeper in love with you. And so, Lord, as we are your body, we ask that you would remove anything that is causing distraction, that we may come to a oneness in you, that we may be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Lord, we need to hear from you today. And so, Father, because you said if we ask according to your will that we shall receive, we thank you for setting this table before us. And we ask you now, Lord God, that you would take the vessel that was chosen to bring forth the word, that you would crush his spirit and elevate your spirit and let your spirit manifest in the vessel. That, Father, we would hear from you and you alone. Come now, Lord, and use me as you see fit. Consecrate me to be used by you. And we promise as your body to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Zechariah chapter number 3, verse number 1. Amen. See how God worked? It's on the wall. If you don't have your Bible, it's on the wall. Says, then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. And Satan was standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robe. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Amen. That was good. Now let's turn to Colossians chapter number 3. we're going to begin at verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. It don't say be thankful for stuff. It says be thankful for what God has done with you. And what God is doing with you. And what God is going to do with you. Then he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing grace in your hearts to the Lord. Somebody shout grace.
Grace.
And whatever you do in word or deed, Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. All you do, do it in the name of Jesus, giving thanks. If you're doing all you do, and you're giving thanks, that means you're always giving thanks. But I want to look at verse number 12. It says, therefore, as the elect of God. And I want you to meditate on this. I'm elected to give thanks.
Hallelujah.
Just say, I'm elected to give thanks. Now tell your neighbor, now give thanks. Amen. You may be seated. In the presence of the Lord, I want to really help myself and help us all together as we understand the entirety of what the word is speaking to us today. It isn't you that chose God, it was God that chose you. Last time I checked, if you get elected into office, you are called to do what the office has chosen you to do. If God has elected you to come into kingdom living, then you have been called to walk in kingdom living. It is something to know and understand that as we read the text in Zechariah, that there was a meeting going on in heaven, only to show us this picture that Paul writes about in Colossians, because he's really speaking about the new man that is created from the old man through what Christ did for all of us. The writer starts off and he says, therefore, as the elect, meaning that there was something that was previously mentioned in the text in chapter number 3. And it was talking about, but in verse 8, it says, but now you yourselves are to put off these things. What things? He says you're to put off anger and put off wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy language out of your mouth. And do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with these deeds. It said there's some things that's got to come off and there's some things that got to come on. Understanding that there is something that has happened to you since Christ has saved you. The inner man is already delivered. The inner man is a perfect man, and therefore you have perfect peace as long as you stay in the inner man. The problem that we have, and I want to point it out, because if we could admit we have the problem, then God will fix the problem. The problem that we have is we tend to go back and forth from the old man to the new man. But Paul writes to us that the old man is dead. Behold, you have become new. You are a new creation. You are now created in the image of God. Now you have what is Christ dwelling in you. And if you stay focused on what's in you rather than focus on what's outside of you, then you will be okay and be able to thank God, and you will be able to speak the oracles of God. But there's a problem that we have. The problem that we have is that we keep giving away our power. And I want you to know that the enemy doesn't play fair. And so we have been chosen by God, and we are the elect of God, but yet, depending upon what happened, and listen, we're okay. We can be the new creation while we're in church on Sunday morning. We can feel good, and we can offer up praises to God, and we are thanking God. And for these 2 hours, it is awesome. It is so awesome that, and we can talk about how good God is, and we can feel the presence of God, and it is great. But then something happened once you get outside of the body of Christ. Because then you got to deal with worldly folks. And the thing about it is, all of us are not completely delivered in our flesh realm. So then you got to deal with your worldly self that wants to have flashbacks every now and then. And so then there's an issue with the flesh man. And God is saying, I've already given you all that you need. We have every spiritual blessing, but there's something that happens to us. And it's called leaving who you are to go back to who you used to be. Like Michael Jackson used to do that backslide thing. I've even heard Christians say, don't make me backslide. You're going to make me backslide. How's somebody going to make you do anything? You belong to God, and you telling somebody they're going to make you do something? You didn't say it so much. Now all you got to do is get the text message from the wrong person. You could be just as holy. Oh, I will bless the Lord. No, she didn't. One text message mess you up for the rest of the day, because you've given power to what you see and made a conscious choice. And if it wasn't a text message, it could be a person. Let them say the wrong thing to you. When somebody says something wrong to you, that's only letting you know they need help to get right. And the reason why they call on you is because you're the brand plucked out of the fire of God. And if they come to you with a bunch of nonsense, then you can help them get to Christ. But the body of Christ, instead of being who we are chosen to be, we elect to go back to who we used to be. You ain't gonna talk that way to me. I'm not the one. I'll go 5150 up in here. All of a sudden, you've just been singing praises and so holy and so full of God, and all of a sudden, you let one person come in. The enemy is the accuser, and he comes in to accuse. He comes in to make trouble. Why? Because he knows how much power there is in the believer. But there's something that he's after. He's trying to get your language to change. Because he knows when you're praising and thanking God that the power is being released in the atmosphere. You are bringing forth revival through your praise and your thanksgiving unto God. People get saved by you praising and thanking God. People get changed by you praising and thanking God. So the enemy wants to take your mouthpiece from you and have you start complaining. Because God is at work with you. And he made you like him. And nothing happened until God spoke. Said, let there be light. And the light is still shining. And he came. And he came. God said, I'm sending my son to save you. And so when he started saving you, you can never be defeated. Because when he said save you, it's saving, 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 saving. Just keeps working. You can't stop it from saving you. I give up, I give up, I want to drown. Saving you. I want to quit. I want to go back to my old ways. And you backslide for a minute, and all of a sudden you find yourself back to church crying again because he's saving you. When he speaks, things happen. And so the enemy wants to take your voice from you. Because he knows if the people start thanking God, it becomes contagious. And the complainers will have to stop complaining because they're around folks that say thank you. You ever been around folks and you just get around them? I notice I can hang around with people that have accents. Before you know it, I'd be talking with an accent. It's contagious. If you get around people that are thanking God, your little complaining self will start thanking God. That's why you need to be in church every Sunday, because you're going to be around some folks that are not afraid to give God thanks. Even when God hasn't answered your prayer, you know how to thank him for being who he is. In Zechariah, it paints a picture of what is happening, and Paul is writing to the church. There was a court session in the heavens, and the high priest Joshua came to stand before the angel of God, and he's standing there. The Bible said Satan was standing right next to him. Mm-hmm. Yep. He'd be standing next to you too. You ever watch a cartoon? You got an angel here and Satan here, and he got the little pitchfork in his hand. He's trying to get him to do this, and the angel trying to do him, get him to do the right thing. And that's what be going on in your mind. Huh? Your heart be pumping memories telling you, you belong to God, you belong to God. And the enemy saying, cuss him out, and you be saying, you belong to God. But if you don't take the time to think and somebody come at you the wrong way, you better let loose on them. And so what was going on that day, let me give you a picture. So they were standing before him. Can I see you for a minute? Come up for a minute. Kyle, can you grab that red cloth? Stand right here. So he's standing. He's standing before the Lord. Satan standing at his right hand. Go ahead and put his hand behind his back, because you can take it. Get him in cuffs. And so he'd be standing at the right, trying to lock him up, telling him he's nothing, whispering crazy stuff in his ear. But the Bible said that as Satan done that, the angel of the Lord said, Satan, I rebuke you, which means I reprove you, which means you have no approval, which means you can no longer touch this. And if God said it, it speaks volumes. So anything that belongs to God, Satan has been rebuked. He can't touch it. Come here for a minute. Come here for a minute. And so he said, the angel of hosts, grab this with her. Come over here. He said, the angel of hosts, cover him. But make sure you cover his head. Because the head represents all the crazy thoughts that go up in there. He says, I'm going to send my blood to cover you. In other words, he gives us a picture of what happened when the enemy had us locked up and kept whispering to us, telling us, you'll never be nothing. You might as well stay on drugs, drink you some alcohol, go jump in somebody's bed. You'll never amount to nothing. And God, Satan, I rebuke you. And everything that the enemy done, he covered it. And so now he's covered in the blood. He has a new outer garment. I mean, you can go be seated. I just wanted to show you. You don't have to fight back no more. You're covered in the blood. You don't have to argue with people no more. You're covered in the blood. Back in the day, they used to say, talk to the hand. You need to just tell the enemy, God got this. I don't have to fight anymore with nobody for nothing. And so Paul gives us his illustration. Zechariah says, he said, isn't he the brand plucked from the fire? God is a God of fire. God calls us his elect, which means that while you were yet nothing, he chose you to be something. And while you're still trying to get your act together, he's letting you know you can never get it together. The only thing that can get you together is him. That's why you need the church. That's why he says in Hebrews 10, he said, forsake not the fellowship with the believers. If you don't hang out with some people of God, you're going to act like the people of the world. It is what it is. You need to be in church and then till you become the church so that you can take the church to the world and change the world and stop letting the world change you. Now get this, he says. He says, as the elect, he says, change your clothes. What do I do? You know how messed up we are? We want to wear Jordans. Oh, give me some Jordans into the brand. I'm going to give me some Gap, some Levi, Aristotle, whatever. You know, if it ain't brand name, you don't want to put it on. And we got so messed up wanting to keep up with the world's brand. Mm-hmm. Told somebody, I'll never buy a pair of Jordan. You can give me a pair, though. No. What was that? Getting so caught up in what the world is doing instead of being caught up in what the Word is doing. Now, get this. The Word says, if you're going to get dressed, don't worry about putting on Ferragamos. Armani. Yeah. No, it ain't Armani. Versace. Michael Kors. I need a Michael Kors bag. I need some Michael Kors shoes. I got to be stepping out. For real? Wearing all that mess, you stepping in. I'm not telling you what you stepping in either. But so focus, I'm not going to tell you can't buy nice stuff because you can. But if you're putting a lot of focus on that instead of being dressed in the spirit, how many of you got up and got dressed and what the Bible said, put on tender mercy. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on meekness. Put on some long-suffering, some patience. If you put all that on, it'll help you bear with one another. The reason why you be arguing is because you're not clothed in the right with the right garment. If you get clothed in the right garment, you won't argue with folks. You can bless them while they try to curse you. When you return evil with kindness, the evil person said, Why are you being so nice to me? Because you're clothed in it. That's all you got. We ought to be giving out what we're clothed in. So we should spend time getting dressed. Turn over to Colossians and say, Lord, clothe me with mercy. Clothe me with kindness. Clothe me with meekness. And then it said, it will help me even forgive one another. Now, forgiving is someone that we struggle with. I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Forget it, too. That's in the Word of God, too. It says, forget those things that are behind. Guess what? Did it happen yesterday? Then forget it. It says, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must forgive. Isn't it something? How we'll say we forgive, but we keep bringing it up over and over. How is it going to help anybody reminding them how messed up they are? Boy, if Jesus would come to me every morning and say, Felix, I wouldn't get up and come to church. But instead, he says, Felix, I love you just the way you are. He begins to put on the bond of perfection. That I love you, and I'm going to work with you. And when you tap into the love of God, it'll help you dispensate the same love of God. And then the ones that are hating you, you say, brother, all I got is love for you. You just messed up. And you'll turn an unbeliever into a believer. But here's the problem. The problem is, in order to change, you're going to have to like the way God has dressed you. You're going to have to embrace it. If you embrace it, you keep it on. And the problem is we want to take off the love of God when we feel like it, depending upon who comes in. Walking around, and then we have all of the power of God in us, and we walk around defeated. And then we start complaining about what's not right. But you have the power of God in you. And you know what? I learned a whole lot from cartoons. I think God had me watching cartoons for a reason. Because when things start going wrong, you know, instead of complaining about it, Popeye would run over and get his Bible of spinach. And he suck up what was good for him that was going to make him strong. He didn't run around talking about what was wrong. He just said, let me get some of this spinach in me. In other words, let me get some of this Bible in here so I'll know how to fight against Brutus. I need to whoop Brutus today, and I can't whoop Brutus on my own standards. I'm going to have to get some spinach, and your spinach is the Word of God. And if you didn't watch that, maybe you watched Underdog. He would run into a thing and get him a whole new suit and come out. And then he was clothed in the power of God. And that's what we have to do. Change our clothes. You just one change away. Just one. He said, then he says, the third thing he says, let peace. He said, let the peace of God. In other words, you're going to have to do, it takes action. And all you got to do is let peace abide. We want to hold on to anger and bitterness. Holding on to stuff that don't help nobody. Just holding on to it. Get mad at somebody, and then somebody come along to try to get you to not talk about it, and you start talking about it even more. Why? Why do we do that? Because you still depend on God. So why don't you just admit it? God, I need help. When you get in something like that, why don't you say, God, help me? That's why he gave you a mouth, so that you can call on him. He's waiting for you to call on him, and you keep making it about you. But the reason why he let it get to you is so that you can call on him. Is there anybody in here that is desperate for God's help? Just tell him, come, God. So now, The greatest conflict is the conflict of knowing that Christ dwells in your heart, not in your mind. Your mind is consistently being delivered. I notice how God set this up because we often thought that our mind is what controls the heart. Tells the heart, oh, do this and do that. So the heart starts pumping, but the mind does not control the heart. The heart the heart sends more signals to the mind. As a matter of fact, it pumps and it goes through one of the chambers that sends memories to the brain. And without the heart, the brain has no memory. Therefore, they have found that the heart is significant to your emotions, to your thinking process. The heart is so significant that the brain depends on the heart to function. And so the Bible says, be hesitant, be quick to listen, but hesitant to speak. In other words, if you take the time to really process it and you start to think about it, you will begin to think in your heart and not with your head. Because the enemy will come into your ears, and automatically, because it's all up here in your head, you think that I got to react right out of my head. And most things that happened to you in your past are still stored up in your memory bank in your head. Therefore, when you are hit with something that you don't like, you are ready to respond back to it and from an area of your used to be. And so then there's a conflict, there's a battle that is going on between your flesh man and your spirit man. But here's the good news, your flesh man will never win. It will always lose the battle. It just wants to know how much time you want to get whooped in your flesh before you just give in and say, I'm going to let my spirit have this battle. So what is going on with the mind? See, the mind will get things from the heart, and the mind thinks and the heart thinks. But thinking and thanking go together. As a matter of fact, think is spelled T-H-I-N-K, and thank is spelled T-H-A-N-K. And if you take the I out of think and put it where the A is in thank, and you take the A out of thank and put it where the I was in think, you still have thinking and thanking because they go together. The only thing that prevents you from thanking God when it don't look good is because you have the I in place. And if you remove the I, then you would always be thanking God instead of thinking, because it's the I that, listen, that holds you back. So it is really you, the I in think, that is stopping you from thanking. But if you just go ahead and put the A in place, A, I'm telling you something, if you just use the A, then you will start thanking God. But anytime you really take time to think, you'll remember how good God has been to you, how he saved you from a nothing and made you something, how he sent his son because you were worth more than you thought you were worth. God saw your worth when you thought you were nothing. God thought you were something, and he said, I'm sending my very best. And that's what causes thanksgiving. I remember when I first got saved, I would go to the gym and I would take my Bible because I wasn't ashamed to carry my Bible. Amen. And everybody said, oh, that big old guy, he over there lifting weights, he just have that Bible. I'm on the bike, I have my Bible. I sit down before I do some bench press. I was so crazy about God. I was so thankful. I didn't have two nickels to rub together, but I was thankful. Amen. I was being talked about and didn't care. Oh, they even had bets on me. Oh, he coming back. Can't nobody leave this lifestyle. Nah, he had it too good over here. You know, he's just going through a phase. They saved too. I went through a phase so that they can see the phase. Ha! And when I was thanking God and praising God, it sent revival to them. And now they're saved. What am I saying? Your thanking and your praising will bring revival to your house, to your neighbor's house, to your community, to your city. Is there anybody in here that wants change to take place and willing to thank God?
He
says, so whatever you do, whatever you do, not whatever you do sometimes, it says, whatever you do, do it to glorify God.
Amen.
Do it in love. You know there's a way to do everything? Huh? There's a way to even say bye. Don't you come back here. You know, that ain't the way. Sweetie, like my mama did with me, I'm just going to turn you over to the Lord. Hey, look, I didn't raise you. Ain't nothing else I could do with you. I love you. That was the best thing she could have ever done for me. Because when she said, I'm going to let God handle it, she took her hands off of it, and God got a hold of me. Listen, and that was in 1992, and I haven't given up yet. Because once God gets a hold of you, you might slip and you might fall, but greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Because when God chooses you, he makes you his brand. You are his elect, and nobody can change. You are a child of God, and nobody can put nothing on you except for a robe of God. And if anybody in here that don't have their robe on, you might as well get up and put your spiritual robe right on and take your place, because you are the princess and the princess of God, and nothing will change that. I don't care what the enemy said. No matter what he's whispered to you, no matter what you've done wrong, the blood of Jesus is all powerful to produce thanksgiving. Remember, I messed up and hurt some folks, and it hurt me so bad. That was the biggest hurt I ever had in my life. I curled up in a knot. I began to tell God that I wasn't worth nothing. And somebody might be sitting here right now saying, my life is jacked up and I don't feel like I'm worth nothing. But God wants me, you to know today you're still a brand out of his fire.
Amen.
Once you become a brand, you are his brand. It is his job to get you cleaned up. And the Christ that dwells in you is going to continue to work on you until he cleanses you and make you white as snow. What am I saying to you? God will never give up on you, no matter how many stains he puts on you, that he has everything in his power to clean you up and clean up your situation. And it's time to start thanking God for being who he is instead of complaining about what's not right, what's not going right. I'm going to thank God because God is all right. If God, you know that God is all right with you, you ought to be able to thank him. And let him know you thought I was worth it. You thought I was worth it. Make it personal. I'm worth it, God, to you. If you ain't worth it to nobody else, you're worth it to him. Somebody might have walked out on you, but you're still worth it to him. You're worth it. He chose you. He elected you. And it's time for the people of God to say, I'm worth it. I'm worth it. Worth what? Worth saving. Worth dying for. Worth keeping. It's the love of God that's keeping you. You would have lost your mind a long time ago, but the love of God is keeping you. It's changing you. You don't have it all the way together, but you're on your way there. Because the word is changing you. Say, I'm worth it.
I'm worth it.
He died to make you worth it.
Hallelujah.
No matter what sin you did yesterday, the one you do today, or the one you'll do tomorrow, he died for all of them. And it's his job to cleanse you. Stop blaming stuff on the enemy. He's already rebuked. He can't touch a child of God. All you got to do is fight you. Stop going back to the cemetery digging up that old man because he dead. Behold, you are new. There's joy in you. When you begin to thank God, it takes you into rejoicing. Have you ever started just thanking God?
Yes.
All of a sudden, your thanks then made you happy.
Yes.
And when things are going wrong, it's not time to start talking about what's wrong. It's time to start thanking Him. Because you'll remember that He's always been with you. He's always saved you. And He's going to continue to save you. His job is to take the eye out of bitter and make it better. So you could thank Him. Because better is attached to you. What's going to happen tomorrow? Better. What's going to happen the day after that? Better. What's going to happen the day after that? Even better. Why? Because God can continue. And the more He continues in you, the better you get. Why? Because you're worth it. You're worth it to God. If can't nobody else see your worth, you're hanging out with the wrong crowd. Show up here Sunday and Wednesday. I'll be here to tell you you're worth it. If you need one cheerleader, I'm the one. I will be your best cheerleader. You are worth it to God. And He thought about you. When He sent Jesus to die on the cross, He said, I love you and you. And you got to put your name right there. He loves you.
Amen.
And it's His job to cleanse you and clothe you with His righteousness. Say, I'm worth it.
I'm worth it.
God elected you so that you would give thanks to Him. Because when you thank God, it changes people. You didn't realize how powerful thanking God was. But I'm going to tell you, if you haven't tried it, begin to thank God for what you know He's going to do. What do you know? You know that God is going to save you from everything, number one, so nothing's going to take you out. You know, number two, that the promises of God are attached to you and that you are a kingdom kid, which means that you are no longer natural, you are supernatural. And it's no longer time. He says, put away anger, put away malice, put away all that. And when it comes at you, begin to thank God for the power that's in you. The Spirit of God. Start thanking Him for Jesus. That's what David writes in so many of the songs. He just starts them off. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. 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 David defeated more battles than anyone else. Why? Because he gave thanks unto the Lord. Is there anybody in here that's tired of fighting the same old battle and ready to just give thanks unto the Lord? Said, I'm not going to talk about it, but I'm going to give thanks unto the Lord. I want everybody to rest to your feet.